Our devotion to God often calls us to serve in thankless tasks. I don't know of anyone who likes to do lowly tasks. I remember, and a lot of you that served in the military in basic training, of what your lowly tasks included. And they were not ones to be thought of in a high way, and we would hope that we would get enough rank eventually that we would never have to do those things again. But someone has to do it. Someone has to clean up the messes. For instance, our potluck, the ladies go to a lot of trouble getting things fixed and served and things like this, and we enjoy a nice meal, and then comes the cleanup. The restrooms have to be cleaned. The baptistry has to be cleaned. Things around the building needs to be fixed. Need to get rid of the trash. Need to vacuum and sweep and mop floors. But many will simply not do these things. Even those who are not suited to do other things. And there is a really good reason for us to get involved in these menial tasks. Three of these are, one, for the love of Jesus. Two, to develop greatness. And three, to receive a reward of heaven. Now, if you will, turn to Mark chapter 14. And we'll be starting in verse 3. And in 2 days, the Jews will celebrate the feast of the Passover. And the chief priests, the scribes, they were trying to figure out a way that they could put Jesus to death, but they didn't want to do it on the feast day because they feared the people themselves. Now, Jesus is now at the house of Simon the leper. And as he was reclining at the table, the Bible says a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly. And she broke the flask and she poured it over his head. And there were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was this ointment wasted like this? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they scolded her. And Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing for me. You will always have the poor with you. And whenever you want, you can do good for them, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. I'd like us to notice her initiative. Nowhere in these scriptures do we read of somebody coming to her and giving her this ointment and say, we need you to go in and put this over the head of Jesus. No one pushed her or told her or asked her to do this. And Jesus certainly did not give her the command to do so. This was all her. This was the one way in which she could serve the Master. The way Jesus had put it was she has done all that she could. She seized the opportunity. And it was her devotion to the Savior that was her motivation. It wasn't a selfish motive. And we kind of find the same thing, if you will, in Mark chapter 16, the first 3 verses. It reminds us here that Mary Magdalene, the mother of James and Salome, they brought spices and they were going to go to the tomb to anoint Jesus. And the very first, early in the first day of the week when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll for us the stone away from the tomb?" Why did they go do this? What would possess someone to get up early in the morning, typically before the rooster was crowing, if you will, just when the sun's coming up, to go and prepare Jesus' body? Again, they saw a need. It was something that they could do, and they did it. Jesus was their friend. He was also their Lord. And to be honest, he needed their service. This is one of the things that we, in the back of our mind, need to think about. Services rendered to the brethren is service rendered to Christ. It says as much in Matthew 25, verse 40. "Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you have done it to me." And I don't often do these things. It was a time when you go into church and you have song leaders, and if you've been to a lot of different congregations, a lot of it is the song leaders will come in, they'll pick out their songs, and they'll go forth. And it takes a tremendous thing, and there are men who really, truly love doing that. It's a service they could do. And we don't often think of what it actually takes to do these things. What would have happened this evening if Joel didn't show up? What would have happened if Paul wasn't here? What if the only ones here was Dale, or Rusty, or Ray? I'm just picking out a few. But I hope you understand, while we think of these as menial things, they all hold a place in the service to one another, but also in the service of God. Perhaps we've never thought of those who maybe look after the building or prepare our communion or make up meals for those in need in our congregation or whatever, in terms of greatness. But you see, when we don't look at them in terms of greatness, certainly we are not looking at them through heaven's eyes. The path of greatness lies through service. It doesn't lie in stature. Mark chapter 10 is a very interesting thing. We have James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and they were amongst themselves, and this other disciples were there. And you got to admit, when you read this, you got to say, boy, these guys were gutsy. Because both of them went up to Jesus and said, "Hey," I'm paraphrasing, can we ask you a favor? And Jesus was very gracious. He said, "Sure, ask me what you want." And then the two brothers said, "Well, we want, when you come into your glory, we want to be on the left side and the right side of you." And Jesus very, very graciously said, "That's not for me to give. It has to be something that you earn." And of course, he went into this, "Are you willing to go through what I have to go through to get that?" And of course, you don't do that with your 10 other buddies standing right there, because there's going to be a problem. And it certainly was. But starting in verse 43, in verses 43 through 45, Jesus, he said, it shall not be among you, so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever will be first among you must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. A Christian life is a life of servitude, period. However we can do it, no matter what the task, the menial to the more extreme, it all has its place in service for Christ. Jesus gives us another example to follow. We find it in John chapter 13. Starting in verse 14, Jesus said, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's. For I have given you an example that you also should have do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one that sent him. Now, we have, you know, erroneously in the past, we teach our children service by having them wash each other's feet. Okay? But there's a difference between teaching them that, because we're not really teaching them service, because, you know, what we're doing is just showing them an example. Jesus truly wanted to wash his disciples' feet. That's what was in his heart. And we have to keep those things in mind. Only the humble will be great in God's kingdom. And the field of service is wide open. What does the Lord think of those who do what they can? Go back to Mark 14, verse 9. Speaking of the woman that poured the pure nard, or the spikenard, some translations say, on his head, said that what she had done will be told in memory of her. Now, how many times have you read or heard the scriptures in Bible class or lessons about this woman? 2,000 years later, she is still remembered because of that act of kindness and servitude that she did. And all she did was do what she could. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus had gone into the temple. In verse 41, he was standing over at the treasury. He was observing how people cast their money into the treasury. And he was watching that those who had a lot of money, the rich ones, were casting a lot in there. And then this certain, the Bible says, a certain poor widow. I don't know why they ever say a certain poor widow. They just say a poor widow went over. And she cast in two mites, a farthing, a half a penny, if you will. And he called his disciples together. And he told them that this poor widow woman cast in more than all the others. Now, you'd probably be standing there looking at, well, wait a minute, she just threw two little coins in. This guy threw a whole bag of gold coins in there. You see, they were able to give because they had plenty to give. What they gave probably didn't even put a dent in what they had. But here was a woman that gave everything that she had left. She gave and put in the treasury. What can we expect in heaven if we're faithful? Even in the small things. Not the big things, but even in the small things. Hebrews chapter 6. The writer in Hebrews 6 and verse 10, he said, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now, every time we see that word minister, we think of one or two individuals in the church, but we all minister to one another, whether we want to believe that or not. And if after the services, if one's carrying a small trash can around and picking up the communion cups out of the pews after services, that's service to one another. But we oftentimes don't even recognize that. Or we have one of the adults that'll run down and get the key to the playground and unlock it for the kids so they can play. And to stand out there and watch them, keep them safe. God is not going to forget what we have done. And it really makes no difference to God how small it is. As long as it was in His service, and it was in service for others, and there were no ulterior motives. In Matthew 25, we have the parable of the talents. We have the one man that was given 5 talents, another man that was given 2 talents, and the third man was given 1 talent. The 5-talent man, the 2-talent man, both received a well done. That 1-talent man, if he had been faithful, if he had done the same thing the other two did, even though his contribution would have been a lot smaller, he would have received that well done. You see, we sometimes like to get lost in the crowd. That's one of the reasons why I love a small congregation. You can't get lost in the crowd. There's no crowd to get lost in. And we look out for one another, and we can see needs, and we can take the opportunities to fulfill those needs. We are responsible, my friends, for what we have, not what we don't have. I don't have Vernon's car, so I'm not responsible for Vernon's car. But that shock you, Vernon. But I am responsible for mine. Whosoever shall give a cup of cold water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say to you, you will not lose your reward. Mark 9, verse 41. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting in verse 8, Paul writes, and I'm going to use the English Standard because it says it so well. But Paul writes here, he says, I say this not as a command, but to prove by earnestness of others that your love is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet for your name's sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this matter I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. First Peter 4 and verse 11 gives us a command. And the command is that if any minister, let him do it as of the ability that God has given us. We are always to be abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. You know, yesterday you could witness a lot of things that kind of went on, not only behind the scenes, but things that we kind of take for granted. know, with the egg hunt we had here for the children and the food that was prepared and everything the way it was set up. And for those who contributed in certain ways, we don't always see it because it's already done and there. And so it's kind of hard when you come up to the next, who do I thank for this? Thank them all. But when you've seen the smiles on the children's faces, when you see them at the end of the time and it's about time to go home, that they're dragging their feet because they're so tired, because they had such a great time. No, it wasn't done, the adults who participated, it was not done for themselves, because they already knew they were going to be tired before they even got there. But it was done for the joy of the children and also for the fellowship that we all derived from it. See, our service to one another is being able to do just what you can do. Not going to have to go out and jump through a lot of hoops to do the menial things. So if we would just use our abilities a little bit, maybe use our initiative a little bit where things are, where it's appropriate, and we can do a work for the Lord together, everything will come together nicely. We can all serve one another and serve God in a way that we will be approved by Him. Keep our hope of salvation and eternal life alive. But whatever we do, we must do it out of love and devotion for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to do it to develop true greatness. Doing it by knowing that the labor was not done in vain. If you are not a child of God, we want to give you the opportunity this evening to obey the gospel itself through repentance and baptism. Confession and baptism, you can assure yourself a home in heaven. And then working diligently to change your life each and every day and live for Him, that you can earn your home in heaven. If you're not a child of God and if you need our prayers for whatever reason, we want to encourage you to come forward and let us know. If there's any way we can serve you and help you, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.